So tonight, we'll take just a few minutes here to look at this subject, restlessness that comes into the life of a believer who is just not at peace with who they are in Christ. Now, there are a lot of different angles on this, and let me just give several of them. I'm just going to give them very practically, and then I want to look at the scripture on the wonderful solution to this. When a child does not have the concentrated focus of parents to, number one, have the right kind of discipline on a regular basis, to have the child learn to behave and sit properly, listen, learn, be respectful, and so forth. And then when there isn't the focus of love in the process of that, encouraging and affirming the child, those children can be very much just given to whatever emotion they have. I mean, they're children that run around all the time, they're children that can't sit still, children that have a very hard time focusing. And so much of that goes back to a lack of consistent parenting, and that's really not my purpose tonight to deal with that, but as we deal with the matter of this inner restlessness, some of it just goes back to a lack of consistent parenting. They're allowed to just move from one thing to the next thing to the next thing, whatever grabs their attention, and they are allowed to want this and then get it and want that and get it. And folks, that's not the way the life works. And so that obviously does create some real issues. In fact, a lack of discipline creates an inner desire for more and more, and just wanting one's own way, and just not being willing to be appropriate, to be able to focus on others, to be able to gain what they need to gain, to produce what they need to produce. And that is really a whole message in itself on appropriate parenting. Now, there's one added aspect to this that has made it even more complicated, and that is the matter of technology. Do you realize how many images occur in just the 30 seconds of any kind of a typical up-to-date video, any kind of a entertainment type or a commercial or whatever? It's just boom, 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 boom. So the mind is used to just going from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. And there are a lot of studies about the crippling effect that that's had on the ability to read, focus, concentrate for long periods of time. And then, of course, the escaping factor of technology. And if there's any pain or any problems, it's an easy medication to have whatever technology a parent allows that person, that child, to have. And so if you have a lack of consistent discipline going on, and then you have all this, you know, just confronting the child, it should not surprise us that they just don't have that inner calmness, that inner peace, just from a human standpoint, and it's certainly going to be something that they have to face. So I had to mention that because that is part of the restlessness that you see in a lot of people where they just can't be content. There's just this inner turmoil all the time, and I think a lot of it just goes back to their upbringing. Then, now getting into serious areas, not secure in parental relationships, certainly tied to the last one, conditional love, constantly looking for satisfaction in the next relationship. One friend to the next when they're a child. Not able to keep friends, be satisfied, because they're very afraid, are they being conditionally accepted or rejected? And they're just constantly looking for someone to care about them. And of course, it's extremely dangerous when you get into the dating aspect and all the pressures that go with adolescence. There is just that, if there wasn't security in the parental relationship, the insecurities and all that we've talked about come in, well, there's going to be a restlessness when it comes to secure, long-lasting, appropriate, biblical relationships. And of course, a lot has been said about how this shows up on social media. Teenagers die for the likes, you know, or whatever. They long for the attention of people, and of course, that's extremely, extremely artificial. In fact, all of this, the New York Times said the meteoric rise of internet-based activities cannot be understated. Between social media, texting, gaming, and surfing the web, the average high school senior spent 6 hours a day online. That's back 4 years ago in 2016. Double the time from a decade earlier. And because of that, loneliness is felt intensely by the younger generation. In fact, books now, I just heard a discussion a couple of days ago on the lonely male. Well, it's also the lonely female, too. It's in a huge survey of 55,000 people found that 16 to 24-year-olds experience loneliness more than any other age group. And so there's just this restlessness. Because remember, why were we created? For fellowship with God, right? To have that wonderful relationship with Him. And then God has given us family relationships, and He's given us marriage relationships to meet that need humanly and to give us the picture and the prototype of what kind of relationship God wants to have with us. And so if a person is handicapped in the area of being able to have a satisfying relationship because they're always fearful and they're afraid they're going to be rejected and they just did not have a close relationship with their parents, they're going to jump from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. And then especially if they get addicted to technology, they're going to live a very isolated and lonely life. And a lot of the hurts that came from what happened in their home are just not being dealt with. And frankly, that is very, very much the majority of younger, especially, but also older folks in our day. Two little teardrops were floating down the river of life. One teardrop asked the other, "Who are you?" "Well, I'm the teardrop from a girl who loved a man and lost him. Who are you?" "Well, I'm a teardrop from the girl who got him." I just couldn't resist throwing that one in because isn't that the way it is? I mean, looking for the next good thing and it isn't what you think it is. Life, we cry over all kinds of things. And then what happens, and what's sad, is this restlessness and just the lack of satisfaction with the relationship, not feeling like needs are met. Then we get critical. That happens in marriage relationships, and that will bring a lot of restlessness, or in other relationships. Two men were talking about a mutual friend. One was very critical. The other said, "I'm surprised to hear you say that. It was my impression that he had done many nice things for you." Well, the other replied, "Yes, but he hasn't done anything lately." And that kind of conditional relationship is very common. So restlessness in the soul about relationship, big deal today. And that comes from the identity crisis of not understanding our relationship with the Lord. Another area, again, linked somewhat to this, is lacking affirmation. And this is a big one. Parents sometimes can provide some security in the home. Maybe there was some discipline and so forth and love, but there just wasn't the encouragement and the wise affirmation of the child as they were developing and growing. And so there is this craving need to get approval and affirmation somewhere. And obviously relationships are one area that we already talked about, but looking at it in their school, and then when they get into the job, and just looking for that thing that will bring them a sense of, you're worth it. There's just that sense of worthlessness and shame. Again, we've talked about that. Well, there's a lot of people, I call them folks that have happy feet. They can only last in a job a little bit of time. Somebody looks at them cross-eyed, or somebody tries to correct them, they can't handle it because they see it as the rejection that they felt from their parents. They are just desperate for affirmation. They move locations. You know, everything seems good. There's that little honeymoon. You got the honeymoon in marriage, but you got the honeymoon on a job. You got the honeymoon in a location. And for a little bit, you know, everything's sort of new and exciting. And then all of a sudden, that's exactly like the last place you were at. Same problems in the last job that you have. And you have to make your way. And there's lots of things you have to deal with as a believer. And I'm in some ways simplifying it, but not really. And this kind of restlessness goes down to the core of our purpose in life, and the fact that we have a sense that our lives are worthwhile, that they mean something, that in essence God is pleased, and there isn't that. There's just looking for the next place, next thing, next situation, next experience. A lot of people travel, travel, travel. People will do all kinds of things to get that need met in their heart. Tied to that is another area, constantly driven to succeed, always feeling like a failure. One woman whose entire life was characterized by drivenness, that's one of the issues with restlessness. She believed she needed to excel to compensate for her failures. Though she was a gifted person, she never felt she was accepted by her parents. She was encouraged then by a good counselor to pray, "I renounce drivenness and the compulsion to perform as a means of gaining approval or cleansing myself of evil, and I announce the truth that I am totally accepted by Christ just as I am." But that's the battle that a lot of people have, just driven, restless. Then you get down to, you know, just our flesh. Satisfaction of self being the goal. You know, it's really sad when young people are not directed and they're able to get into fleshly sins in their early teen lives. They probably have the hurts and they're looking for ways to cope with that, but they become very much looking for the next thrill, the next pleasure. They need more dopamine, so to speak, in their brain to kick in so that they can have some sort of sense of well-being and so forth. And so it really does get into just constant satisfying of the flesh. Well, just like if you eat too much anytime, you're not real interested in eating again for a little bit. Well, God has put a protection in us. Sin becomes a little bit old after a while, and you have to get a new thrill to be able to try to get the dopamine high that you had before. That's certainly true with drugs. It's certainly true with wrong viewing. It's certainly true in the sexual arena. It is true in many areas, thrill sports or whatever a person gets involved in. But many folks are just restless. They've got to have something to make them happy. And of course, isn't our culture, especially our area, driven by that when you think about it? It's really sad. Colossians 3:5 says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and," this is all tied together, "covetousness," that desiring something else. And then it's added and defined, which is idolatry. It is your God to feel good, to experience a high, to satisfy the flesh. That's what people live for, and it's really tragic. And by the way, folks, a lot of the pushback to Bible Christianity today is that is sort of the philosophy of the hedonism of our day, and Bible Christianity stands right in the way of that. And that's why there is such a backlash to just simple truth about thus saith the Lord. I'd like you to turn with me to just a couple of passages here, and we'll be done here this evening, as I've quickly gone through those, and I'm sure more points could be given, but those are the ones that came to my mind in my experience in working with folks. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. I'll go ahead and start reading. "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Now note this, verse 7. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal, and take the name of my God in vain. A person who has the right values in life and who is controlled by the Spirit of God doesn't want the drive and restlessness of self-satisfaction to dominate. In other words, Lord, give me what is convenient for me, what is best. I'm going to trust you, but I don't have to have more. There isn't something else. I just want to accomplish your will. That's the Old Testament perspective. Go over to 1 John chapter 5, the last chapter of 1 John, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John. And we read the last three verses of the epistle of 1 John. And we know, verse 19, that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness, gives themselves to wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And I want you to note this. Now we're getting down to the answer that we've been looking at. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. In other words, there is a two-sided perspective here. The world lieth in wickedness, and we as believers understand that Jesus has come and that we're in him, and that we have that relationship. Therefore, keep yourselves from anything other than him to meet your need. And that brings me now to Hebrews chapter 3. One more text, and this is it. Hebrews chapter 3. And here we have that first part of the word restlessness, but in the positive, rest. And this is dealing with Israel and their lack of willingness to obey God and to trust him for victory. You see, whenever a believer takes their life in their own hands and is not really walking with God, understanding who they are and what God's called them to, and the power of God to meet their needs, but when they take it in their own hands, there's going to be a restlessness, especially if they're struggling with approval and affirmation and meaning and all of these things. And so we read these tremendous verses about the fact that they did not enter into the promised land. And what is the word that is used to characterize the promised land? Rest. Look at verse 11. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Then if you go down to verse 18, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, entering into the land was not passivity. Entering into the land was a deep trust and spiritual rest that they were the people of God. God's hand was upon them. God had made a covenant to deliver them. And they knew that God was going to accomplish what he said. And even when they had to fight, even when they had to go through some real trials, there was a peace in their soul because it wasn't about them. They didn't have to prove anything. They couldn't anyway. There was no way for them to defeat the Canaanites, but their God could. And so they saw themselves through the prism of the wonderful perspective that they were the people of God. God had purchased them, and they had the covenant, and the great glorious cloud of the Shekinah glory was with them. And so they now 38 years after the Kadesh Barnea incident, they now had a rest in their souls. They were not restless, looking for back for the food of Egypt, looking for everything that they wanted and needed, and fearful of all that was going to happen and all of that. No, they had learned now, the new generation. In fact, Deuteronomy talks about the love of God and talks about that relationship. It's powerful how Jesus quoted from that. And so they saw entering into the land as spiritual rest. They were accomplishing the goal of their lives. They were glorifying God. They were showing his power. They were being delivered. The enemies were falling before them. And they had a rest in their souls. Verse 1 of chapter 4, let us therefore fear lest the promise being less of us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Folks, Christians shouldn't be restless. Christians should be very satisfied with the relationship they have with the Lord and the promises of God and the purpose that they have. They need to realize it's not about them proving anything or having the relationship that will just be perfect for them. They have all that they need in Christ, and if they are in the will of God, there is a deep peace that will keep their heart and lives. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. And in verse 5, in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. And so verse 11, let us labor therefore. Isn't it interesting? Labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And then it goes on to the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two, sharper than a two-edged sword. So restlessness, it means that we really do have an identity crisis. Folks, are we content with right now? Are we satisfied with God's relationship? Are we trying to prove something? Is it just constant, I gotta have something else, I gotta do something else, there's gotta be something better? Well, we gotta have a spiritual earnestness about much more for Christ, a dissatisfaction in light of God's word, but not a personal dissatisfaction for ourselves. And we need to be living with rest as God develops us and grows us, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Years and years ago, an old Puritan sat down to his meal and found that he only had a little bread and some water. His response was to exclaim, "What? All this, and Jesus Christ too." There's nothing like the restlessness being replaced by rest. Doesn't matter what your upbringing was. Doesn't matter if you didn't get the affirmation. It's a big deal. But when it comes to having rest, even if you weren't disciplined, even if there is some of these things that I talked about, did you know that the Holy Spirit's more powerful than that? And if you'll believe him and trust him and look to that relationship that's him, you'll have the relationship you long for, you'll have the purpose you long for, you'll see God accomplish things that will glorify him, and a deep peace will grip your soul if your identity will be in him. Let's bow for prayer.